Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember when someone gave me, they didn't really give it to me, they let me borrow their study Bible. It was the first time I'd ever had a study Bible. They let me borrow it for a week, Sunday to Sunday. And I remember I took it home, and all through confirmation, we only had the straight Bible. When we went to church, we only had the straight Bible, so no study Bible. Now, when I say study Bible, what I mean is those Bibles that it has the text up top, and then on the bottom it has these little notes that kind of help you understand things. I'd never seen one before. It was fantastic. It was a game changer, if you will. A brand new world opened up to me. And so for the whole week, every time I'd get home from school, I would just tear through this thing and start reading through it and trying to find out more stuff. And at the end of that week, I really thought I had achieved quite a bit. I really thought that I knew so much more. In fact, to some degree, I even thought I knew when the end of the world was going to be. I know. You're thinking, Pastor, how is that possible? Well, I was no doomsday guy. I thought it was like 200 or 300 years into the future. I had read a few key passages, and I knew those study notes, and I thought they really had something going. Now, if you're thinking to yourself right now, boy, Pastor, 14-year-old you was a little crazy, you're not wrong. I wouldn't disagree. But how often do we find ourselves kind of in the same trap? Maybe we do it through different ways, but we find ourselves in the same place. We look out at the events of the world, and we look at the direction that the world seems to be heading, and we find ourselves thinking, it can't be too much longer now. We've got to be at the end of the world. Look at all the stuff going on. We turn on the news. We see what's happening around the world. We look at what's happening not just around the world, but maybe it's just a few miles away or a few blocks away. Or maybe the next house over. And we say to ourselves, surely this is the end. Surely Christ is coming back. Surely we can't have too much longer to go. We find ourselves predicting the end of the world. And then we look to Holy Scriptures for some kind of justification for the way we think. And we look even at texts like today's text, and it seems to be validated. We've heard of wars and rumors of wars. We've seen false prophets and Messiah arise, calling out to us, saying, come here and follow me. We seem to have seen it all. In our text for today, the disciples sit across from Jesus, and Jesus, they begin to talk about the temple. Now, to truly understand where this conversation is going, we need to understand the temple a little bit, specifically Herod's temple. You see, the temple was constructed by one named Herod the Great. Now, Herod did not live to see it completed. In fact, he didn't live to see it anywhere close to done. He died around in 4 BC, but they used his plans to continue to work on it, to continue to complete it. Now, Herod wanted to make the temple the most beautiful object on the face of the earth. That was his goal, but he had a problem. His problem? He was kind of locked on the size. You see, the Bible very clearly tells you how big the temple has to be. So Herod couldn't make it any bigger. And so he tried to make it as fancy and as beautiful as he could. And so it was a stunning, stunning building. However, he did decide, though, that what he could determine the size of was the mount that it sat on. In fact, when you guys think of Jerusalem today and you think of that building with the golden dome on it, that's actually a Muslim like holy site. It's not a mosque, but it's a Muslim holy site. That's roughly where the temple used to be. But that large rectangular object that building sits on, that's called the Temple Mount. And that is Herod's construction. And it is a massive undertaking. Some of the stones at the base of that structure are 35 feet across. Feet. It is the size of a small house. And he had these stones moved and put and stacked on top of each other. a massive undertaking. He wanted the temple and the Temple Mount to be the kind of place that you would go out of your way to witness, that you would go out of your way to see, that armies would stop and say, no, we can't attack there. Look at that beautiful temple and the mount in which it sits on. That is what Herod wanted. And so he started construction on it. He did not live to see it constructed. In fact, as the disciples sit across from the temple looking over, it's still not done yet. It will not be completed until around 46 AD. It was a huge undertaking. And Jesus and his disciples, as they sit there and they talk, Jesus isn't talking about when the temple's going to be done. He doesn't start talking about how great it is, how magnificent it is. Instead, he starts talking about when it's going to be destroyed. Pulled stone from stone. And so it is that while Jesus is talking to his disciples about some event that's going to take place in the future, for us, he's talking about an event that takes place in the past. For you see, there was a Jewish group that locked themselves in the temple, fearing the Roman army. And the Romans did not want to destroy the temple. They called out to this particular group and they said, come out, we don't want to destroy this beautiful building, this gorgeous building. But they refused. And so the Roman military tore down the temple stone by stone to get the people that had locked themselves inside. And this happened around 70 AD. Jesus talks about this event that is to come. And he talks even further about it. For he talks about the end, how the end is coming, the time when the temple will no longer stand, the time when you will hear wars and rumors of wars where there'll be earthquake and famine. And certainly as we look out, we see that those things have certainly happened and continue to happen. We still hear about earthquakes. We still hear of wars and rumors of wars. We still see false prophets and false messiahs pop up. So dare I say, the end is near, the end is here. In fact, if you go through Scripture and you begin to look at Scripture for something we call the end times, or in technical language we'd call it the eschaton, the last things, you see a certain image that begins to emerge. When Christ died upon the cross and rose on the third day and ascended into heaven, it began the end times. So we are living in the end times. However, I like to say it's kind of like when you move. When you move a house and you go to a new house, what do? Right? You first have to buy the house, and then you probably have to get your house ready for sale. Then you got to pack everything up, load up the U-Haul, move it over, and then unpack the U-Haul, and then you get that final stage where you're unpacking the boxes. And if you sit in your house, you might say, hey, we finally reached the end. We're unpacking the boxes. But if you're anything like me, it's 7 years later and you still got a few boxes in those basements and you're not quite done yet, but you're really, really close. The end times is not a specific time. It is a period. It is a process. We are in the end times. Certainly we are in the end times. But we do not know when the end is. We do not know when the final day is. Whether it's later today or whether it's 100 years from now, we do not know. 14-year-old me was misguided. Misguided to think that he could figure out the particular day. But we're not misguided. No one will know the day or the hour when our Lord returns. But we wait. We wait for that day or hour. We wait for the time when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will return to take us to be with Him for all of eternity. And in the meantime, we live as Christians. We repent of our sins. We confess the gospel. We confess the truth. We go forth in faith, placing our hope and our trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that as we come to Him, our sins have been forgiven through His work upon the cross, for what He did for you and for me, that He bled, and through His blood we are cleansed. So yes, we wait. We wait, but we wait in hope, placing our faith and our hope in Him, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.